This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk with a shout-out for London, Sardinia, and Malta for hosting races this September. Jan Pachner, the General Secretary of the Yacht Club Costa Smeralda, tells us where the Maxi Yacht Rolex Cup and the Rolex Swan Cup races will happen.
Basically, the whole Costa Smeralda area, which is basically the north shore of Sardinia, basically it's 55 kilometers of coastline, and it's called Costa Smeralda. That's where Porto Cervo is located.
The Royal Thames Yacht Club will be hosting their Women's Open J70 Keelboat Championship. Rear Commodore Jennifer Woods encourages young women to sail and be leaders.
You are a woman in a role that has never been held by a woman since 1775, and that's the Rear Commodore role. What would you say for future women considering being in positions of leadership?
I think I felt very honoured, I must admit, when I was asked if I would become Rear Commodore Sailing of the Royal Thames. To begin with, I was surprised that they were asking me, but when I realised that actually it was a serious proposition, I was very thrilled, and I've enjoyed the role enormously as a, just being the face of the Royal Thames, and I think it's important that women are considered. I don't see why they shouldn't be. I'm no different to anybody else, man or woman, and I hope that now that we've broken this glass ceiling, that there will be many more women to follow me.
The Royal Malta Yacht Club will be hosting a series of races for the SB20. I end my report with Adrian Stone and his experience sailing in Malta during the Rolex Middle Sea Race last October.
And also, this is a very unusual entrance going into the race through the channel. Can you describe for our audio listeners a little bit about what that's like coming out through the city on either side?
It's really amazing. And for me, as a young American guy, I was just thoroughly besotted by medieval Europe and the ancient history here. So to sail off between this very narrow entrance where you've got forts and these great big walls, and it's very tricky to sail out of, to be fair. There's a lot of boats crammed into a very tight space, and they're all vying to get to the line, and the wind is very fluky and it's very tough, and it comes down from various gusts from the streets and from the spires and fort top. It's very tricky, but it is also very beautiful. And so you have to on one hand stay very focused, and on the other hand you have to you also are just taking it all in, drinking in this beautiful surrounding, which is Malta, Valletta, Grand Harbour, the whole area.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk in Malta at the Rolex Middle Sea Race.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Yes, it is Tuesday at 9:40, and you heard Christopher Cross there, and Christopher Kane, our friend, is in studio along with myself, Rick Tittle, and my co-host for this segment for SailSportTalk.com, Karen Lyle. I encourage anyone who has any sailing questions, comments, or concerns to call the line 800-878-PLAY for this segment sponsored by Piano Finders. It's again, 800-878-7529, Piano Finders call in line. And I just saw the notes today. It just says America's Cup discussion. So I'll jump in if need be. But Karen, Christopher, have at it, my sailing aficionados.
Can't believe you brought up AJ Costello. on a family show. Come on.
Well, you can count on Rick for just stirring it up a little bit.
God,
you're a Stanford guy, Chris?
Yeah. AJ Costello reminds me of an old insult that was leveled at Steve DeBerg when he played with the 49ers, which is he plays just well enough to lose.
That was the Bill Walsh quote, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't going to call him out, but yeah. So AJ Costello's like, no, we're not.
All
well,
right,
you know,
Karen, go ahead.
Christopher, I was just out on the San Francisco Bay on Saturday. I got a moment before the smoke was too bad, and and I guess the winds were probably around 15 to to 20 knots, and oftentimes we get 25 knots in the afternoon, sometimes even 35 knots. And I wanted to talk a little bit about where the America's Cup race is happening and how the wind compares to the San Francisco Bay, because that's oftentimes a very comparable type of wind situation.
Well, it's interesting because we're at an interesting point right now in the boat development to have these conversations. So American Magic, the American Challenger, has been out on the water. Obviously, the New Zealand boats out there are starting to really push hard. And, you know, over the last week, we're starting to see what they like to call splashdowns. But, you know, they're starting to push these boats hard in very similar breezes, right? 17, 18, gusting above 20. And if you think about the race course, for San Francisco, we had one course on the waterfront. That was it. And in this case, with the harbor at Auckland, it's big enough that they actually have five race courses. They have three courses that are off the city front and sort of in the channel going out to the ocean. They have one tucked way off in a corner, I guess, for, you know, if it's really honking. And then went out more into the ocean and you know, set up to sort of feather and try and get a more consistent wind for the boats. What's interesting to me now is we're about a month away from the second boats going in the water. So each syndicate gets to build two boats, and they've all had their first boats charging around. Only New Zealand and the American Syndicate have had them down in New Zealand. But we're about a month away from those boats being splashed. And the big question for me is not just what weather you're building these boats for, but when, right? I mean, we're still 8 months away from the America's Cup. And the Challenger Series starts in January. And if you look at the wind now in New Zealand, it's very much like San Francisco, you know, building in the afternoon, getting above 20 knots. But in January, when the Challenger Series starts, it feathers down to about 17. And in March, when the actual America's Cup happens, it's down to about 10. So The question is, which wind condition are you building these second boats for? And have you had enough lighter air days in the bank to be able to have the numbers to know how to build your second boat? And, you know, again, with these being brand new boats, it's going to be interesting. This is another one of these cases where, you know, there's moments where you can be really right and really wrong. And
yeah,
one of those.
It makes a big difference as to what the, you know, what the design is, as to how it goes in lighter or higher winds. I don't know if it's possible to have a boat that does well in both.
Well, and I think that's part of the reason for the number of different courses is, you know, if it's really honking, you can kind of do a more protected course. And if you need to define more wind, you can head more out into the ocean. I think this is an attempt by the race committee to try and find a wind that is consistent and gives the boats a lower range they have to play in. But the boats you're going to see, you know, knocking around in December for the Christmas Cup are not going to be sailing in the wind conditions they're going to see in March. And that's tough for a syndicate. And it's even tougher when it's a brand new boat. This has impacts for sail, has impacts for, you know, how sleek and air, you know, resistance you have on the actual hulls, and how big and how much of a lift you want from the foils themselves. And there's probably some boat designers really banging their heads against the wall right now trying to crack this code.
Well, and the race committee sets the course that day. Is that correct? So the racers don't actually know exactly which course or starting line is going to be until the day of. Is that how it works?
It's a good question, and I don't actually know the answer to that. But you know, if you look at how the courses are angled and where they're positioned off Auckland, they're obviously trying to get a better control on the band, on the high and low wind of these boats, and trying to keep that more consistent. If they succeed, you know, we have a joke in sailing that Mother Nature always bats last. And you can plan all you want, but you're not actually in control.
Oh, well, and I see that they have, I'm not sure if that's an island or a promontory in the middle of that race course. By the way, I'm looking at the website at sailsporttalk.com where I've posted a map and a video that shows an aerial view of the race course for any listeners who want to follow along and look at, you know, where these races are going to happen, because, of course, we want to be informed spectators for this. But I know that when you get the wind coming around one of those corners, you can get a gust, even though it may be 25 knots, which it is right now. I was looking at the weather right now in this area, and it's 25 knots today there in New Zealand in this particular harbor. And, I had my boom break on my boat with a 35-knot gust that came around Angel Island a couple years ago.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get these gusts that just come out of the blue and boom. And boom. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, the one that I think has the greatest potential for surprising the sailors is the sea course, which starts sort of hidden behind the head outside of New Zealand, outside of Auckland, but then pokes out into the main channel at the high end. And I think that's going to be the interesting course, is what happens at the top and the bottom of that course, because you're going to see very different wind conditions. And that one definitely has the potential to have some surprising moments.
Well, you have swell.
Karen Lyle and
Christopher.
Sorry, just resetting there for a second. Karen Lyle and Christopher Kane are with us, SailsportTalk.com. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Christopher, one of the things, too, is you've got these foils, and then you have swells. And I'm just wondering what the effect is going to be, whether the swells actually have an effect on how the boat travels, because you don't have much of the boat in the water. I mean, it's mostly flying in the air.
Yeah, and in San Francisco, the chop had less. We have a very mean chop we get in San Francisco, where the tide's going one direction and the wind is going the other, and it's a pretty vicious chop that San Francisco Bay can throw up at you. And the cats that were on foils, and obviously we're talking about different boats, but they're both foiling boats, weren't that impacted by it. And there's also talk about some very interesting tidal things that happen off Auckland, which is obviously true about San Francisco as well. In the Cup in San Francisco, we really didn't see the tide playing that big of a factor, except for in the starts. And remember, in the starts is probably when these boats will spend the most time with the actual hull in the water, is during the starts. And that's when I think you'll see some of these currents and tides and swells take effect. But yeah, at speed, these boats aren't as affected as much as you would expect from swells and tide.
I was looking at the probability that you and I would be able to go into New Zealand to be there for the America's Cup with the COVID-19, and it looks like it's pretty tough for journalists to be able to get into New Zealand at this particular time.
Yeah, I mean, in order for the syndicates to get in, they had to get a special dispensation from the government in order for American Magic to get into the country. So it is not easy. And, this is a country that has done, pretty well in working to suppress COVID-19. I'm sure they are going to continue to do that. And a sailboat race isn't going to make them lose focus.
It says that if media want to come in, they have to start applying to the government now. And I noticed also that in the airport that they now have a test that they're doing for San Francisco Airport that allows San Francisco International Airport SFO, and that allows for results within something like 14 minutes for a COVID-19 test that they're using for the employees. And that seems pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, they announced that yesterday for the international terminal. It's we're getting there, but do we think
is it reliable?
We're going to live in a dramatically different world. Sadly, I don't think so. But, you know, all the syndicates will get in and we'll see what happens. But I'm just fascinated by what the second boats are going to look like, because we're going to be able to look at the changes between the first and second boats and immediately be able to suss out what their predictions are for wind, what their predictions are for how the foils work. And you know, these first boats will, you know, the first new boats of their class, they spent all this money, and overnight they're going to become dinosaurs. And, you know, speaking of which, we'd also be remiss to not point out that the second America's Cup syndicate from America was not able to have their suggestion, shall we say, on how they get back into the Cup succeed. So American Magic is the American challenger, so...
All right, well, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. That's Christopher Kane, our sailing aficionado, and, of course, my co-host for SailSportTalk.com, the woman in charge, Karen Lyle. Thank you, too. Great stuff, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. We'll see you soon.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle, and the lines are open once again. 1-800-878-PLAY. Come on back on Sports Byline.